Please join me in the call to worship. In this season, we celebrate a day like every other day. Alarm clocks beep. Covers were removed. Coffee was brewed. Weary bodies come to life. And yet that day was like no other day. For the sun rose, and we knew it was a miracle. The tomb was empty, and they knew it was love. So again and again, we say, the longest night is over. Death has lost its sting. Jesus is among us. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in singing hymn 118, The Day of Resurrection. Be seated. Early in the morning, God created all that is good and beautiful. Very early in the morning, a mother placed her newborn in a manger. Early in the morning, the good news was shared with frightened friends that Jesus had risen and was alive. Let us now confess together our fears and amazement this morning as we pray together. In this season of resurrection, we must confess how human we are. You who are the emptier of tombs. We haven't done any great evil, but we have failed to do good when we had the chance. We have not intentionally hurt anyone, nor have we offered healing to the broken. We easily accept the witness of the angel in the tomb, but find it difficult to share this good news with our friends and neighbors. Bring us new life, dazzling God, where we are tired and stressed. Give us the energy to serve your creation. Transform our hardened hearts into fountains of grace. Forgive us for all the damage we have done, and fill us with the joy of your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, who gives us new life, we pray. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. God, our Creator, gives us new life. Christ, our Redeemer, prepares a table for us. Holy Spirit, our joy, calls us to service. This is the good news. The tomb is empty. Sin is powerless. Death is defeated forever. On this day and every day, we walk as God's people, forgiven and made whole. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Let us now turn and greet those who have gathered beside us for worship with the passing of the peace. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. I am Lou Pennebaker, Director of Christian Nurture and Education, and it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning. I invite you to take a minute and find the pad somewhere in your pew to register your attendance with us. If you're here every Sunday, you know you just simply need to put your name down to let us know you're here. If you're visiting or new, we invite you to fill in any of the information that there's space provided for so that we might be in contact with you in the coming week or so. Pastor Renee has been on study leave this past week, and in her absence this morning, we welcome to our pulpit Reverend Jeff Kunkel. Jeff has preached for us many times in the last few years, and we welcome him back this morning. He recently returned from Japan, so after worship you might hear a little bit about his trip, or maybe we'll hear a little bit about it in the sermon. I don't know. Renee will be back in the office this week on her regular schedule. This morning in Fellowship Hall, we have manna bags that will be available. If you would like to purchase one of those or a few of those to have available in your vehicle as you are driving around town, they're a great resource to give out to people who might be in need of some food and some resources. So those will be available. However, this morning we will not have equal exchange coffee, chocolate, and tea available. Coming up this week, there are a few things going on. On Tuesday, you can join Let's Read This Book with Sherry Plunkett. They meet in the fireside room at 1:30. They enjoy reading through the book they're reading. And I don't see where Sherry. I can't remember the name of it. The Prodigal Prophet by Tim Keller. And they have very lively discussion along with that as they read through. And you are welcome to join them. Again, that's Tuesdays in the Fireside Room at 1:30. And this Thursday, April 16th, is our Young at Heart monthly luncheon. We invite you to join us for that. This month's speaker will be from the Alzheimer's Association and talking about simple life choices for brain and body health. So if you plan to attend that, we ask that you please sign up in Fellowship Hall so that Bob Kraut and his team, who provide a lovely lunch every month, can know how many to prepare for. A few things about pastoral care. We have told you about John Flanagan's passing, and if you are interested, we have printed obituaries. The family is not planning a memorial service at this time, but we do have available in Fellowship Hall beautifully printed obituaries if you would like to take and have that as a piece of memorabilia in memory of John.
And then this past week, we received word in the office that Susie Christie passed away on Easter. Susie Christie and her husband, Randy Kluver, were attended here for some time and then moved to Southern California, but every time they came back up north, they would visit and join us for worship. So if you knew Susie or Randy, their information is in the bulletin if you would like to reach out to them. With that, let us continue in worship. I invite Lee Holm forward for our scripture reading.
Morning. Today's New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Let us hear these words inspired by God. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. May the Creator bless these words to our understanding.
When they crucified my Lord, were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Thank you, Richard. We're all trembling now. This is the New Testament reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark. If it seems to end rather abruptly, well, it does. We'll talk about that a little later. Chapter 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, this is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of all of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Amen. Good morning again, everybody. It's good to be back with all of you. Thank you, Lou, for that introduction and for that solo, Richard. Well, it's the great 50 days of Easter, and I understand that you've been in an interim period now for over 2 years, right? Uh-huh. I always talk about the interim period as that time between eras in a church. So you've been in between eras for 2 years. It's a long time. And I hope you continue to do the work. I know things haven't worked out so far for a candidate to come here, but when the right moment arrives and the right candidate arrives, he or she will be coming. Well, if you were following along in your Bible when I read that story, you will have noticed that though I stop, the gospel goes on for another 20 or 30 verses. But what I read to you was the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. The other verses were added later by different people in a different era. So in this gospel, we end up with the two women, with an empty tomb. That's where we end up. If we end the gospel there, as it was intended. So let's look into a little bit of the background of this occurrence. There were two women, two Marys who got up in the morning full of grief, but wanted to go pay respects, despite bringing spices and other items for respect to the grave of Jesus, to the tomb of Jesus. And they walked forward and they had a question: who's going to roll the stone away for us? And then the surprises start, because don't forget, they were probably expecting that the stone was still going to be there and that in the tomb was the body of Jesus. That's not what they meant, was it? They met the stone rolled away, surprise, shock. They met an empty tomb, no Jesus, shock. Then they met this young man in dazzling white. I've got a little bit of white on today. I don't know if I'm dazzling or not. But that was the third shock. Who is this person? And he's talking to us about Jesus, that he's gone before us. Well, they were shook. They were amazed, and they were terrified. And they left the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. All they had was the empty tomb, and trying to take that in. and to process it, right? They had the empty tomb. They had a certain kind of emptiness that they met. Now, I would suggest that that's not the only emptiness that they met that day, because they were full of grief. And if you've ever had sorrow and grief, you know how it empties you out, right? So these two women had lost their Jesus. They had lost their relationship to God. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were full of grief. They were empty inside. All they had left was to bring spices, their last gift. They were empty inside, and then they meet the empty tomb. And as I thought about this passage this last year, I was thinking, well, I think emptiness is a lot about what this passage is about. The empty tomb, the emptiness in the women who came forward on that day. Well, do you think Jesus had ever experienced this emptiness inside of him? Think he ever did? I think he did at least twice that I could pick up on. Remember long ago in the gospel story when he first decides that he has a mission from God and he goes off into the desert, into the wilderness? Well, that's a pretty empty space, isn't it? Those of us who live in California, when we go to Nevada, we know what an empty space is all of a sudden, right? And he went into the wilderness. And it doesn't say much about how he was doing in the wilderness, except that he was preparing. And if he was going to be filled by God, he'd better have some emptiness in him to be filled. And we knew he was starting to struggle and have trouble because all of a sudden the angels appear in that story, right? So we knew he must have been struggling and needed help. He might have been empty. And the angels came and ministered to him. And after that, he emerges. And then there's one other time, we heard about that fairly recently, where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the crucifixion, and he says, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. I can't face this." Feels like emptiness to me, right? No resources left. He did add, however, "Not my will, but your will." You know, when I had someone ask me the other day, is it okay to petition God and ask for what we think we need? Because a lot of people aren't sure about that. But I think even this example is that it's fine to petition God for anything you can think of or anything you need. But to keep yourself honest and to give God a little room, just tack on what Jesus tacked on to the end of that prayer. "You know what I want, God. I asked you for it, yet not what I will, but what you will." And so that opens us up a little bit, and that gives God a little bit of room, right? So this place of being empty. You know, one thing I've decided is that I hate being empty inside. I will do anything, just about, to avoid being empty inside. And by empty, I mean, you know, just vulnerable, no more resources to meet what I think I might have to meet. No hope, no strength, no faith. It's all gone. It's just an emptiness there. And I bet most of you have felt that spot before, that emptiness. It doesn't feel good, really, does it? We like to be full, right? Not empty. I like my gas gauge to be on F, not E, right? I like the scripture that says, "Your cup will be overflowing." Oh, I'm not only full, I'm overflowing. Oh, that makes me feel good. Well, it is good to be overflowing and full, right? And we want to be that. But the only problem with that, I think, is that when we're full and overflowing, God has a hard time getting inside of us. There's no room, right? Most of you remember probably Fibber McGee's closet, don't you? Those of you who are young, ask an older person near you. They'll tell you about it. But it's always it's a kind of a comedy in radio days when Fibber would have to go to the closet and find some reason to open it. And what happened when he opened it? All of his junk that he had stored in there fell out, surrounded him, right? Well, I'd rather be that full closet than an empty closet, to tell you the truth. I'd rather be feel like I'm filled up. What do we fill ourselves up with? Opinions, ideas, plans, hopes, dreams. That's how we fill ourselves up, right? Then we can push God away a little bit and say, I've got this, God. I'm on my way. Just stay out of my way for a bit here. Yeah, we like to be full. The cup overflowing is what we're striving for, often. Not to be empty inside. But I want to suggest to you, from my own personal experience, and I think this gospel story, is that emptiness is part of our religious journey. Sometimes we are going to be empty. And we probably won't like it. We don't have enough faith. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough hope. We can't face what's coming up. We're empty. That place of emptiness. We won't like it. We'll want to be filled up as quick as possible. And if we go to church and we're not filled up, well, why didn't that preacher fill me up? Why didn't that music fill me up? I still feel empty. Well, here's what I want to suggest about emptiness. Emptiness gives God a lot of room to work in your life. It's an open door, isn't it, to God and to whatever is new that needs to come into our life. That emptiness finally gives God a little room. I mean, how's God going to get into Fibber McGee's closet? God ain't going to do it. It's full. You listen to all the political conversation in the news these days or from your neighbors, everybody's full. They're full up to here. They've got their ideas. They got their opinions. They've got all of this, and they're going to tell you about it, and they're going to stay filled up with it. But something might happen in their life, a great sorrow come along, a great surprise. And all of a sudden, all of that just drains out as it needs to. If God's going to do something new inside of me and you, there's got to be a little emptiness, a little room for God to enter and work. So these women at the tomb, they leave still having this emptiness inside. They're not filled up yet. They don't like it. They're amazed. They're terrified. And yet, they've been prepared for what comes next, haven't they? To be filled by the new life in Christ. And if they were full, that new life would go right by them because they wouldn't be looking for it. They wouldn't feel they needed it. So, maybe to be empty is part of our faith journey. Not something against our faith journey, but part of our faith journey. An empty tomb, a wonderful thing. An empty heart, could that be wonderful as well? Amen. Thank you.
may be seated. In the resurrection of Jesus, we are reminded of his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. In worship, we come together to show our gratitude and love for this selfless gift of salvation. One act of worship is giving of tithes and offerings. This morning, as the ushers come forward to collect the offering, know that whatever the amount or however it is given, God will bless and use all that we offer to him to spread the love and message of Christ throughout this world. Lord Jesus, on the cross you set the ultimate example of sacrificial love, and we ask that through your grace we might emulate this love. May our gifts echo your great love for us. We pray that you will use our gifts, O God, to further your kingdom here on earth, so that others will know the new life and hope that we know in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's join in prayer together. Dear God, this is a day which you made, and we will be glad in it. And we thank you for so much. We lift up to you now at this time the leaders in our world struggling to find a way towards peace and justice. We pray for those leaders that you would find them a little empty and open to what you can bring them. We pray this day for your church, that great body of witnesses you've raised up in every generation and upon whose shoulders we stand. We're thankful for their faith. We thank you, God, this day, and we lift up to you those who need your special care, those who are ill, without hope, facing misfortune or death, those in this congregation and beyond. Grant healing and strength and an opening. And finally, we pray for ourselves that if we're going to get filled up, we ask you to fill us. The rest of it, we like it, but it can go. Joining then in the prayer our Lord taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Receive the benediction. Go now in the love of God, in the grace of Jesus Christ, in the companionship of God's Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.